Blair Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello, and welcome to episode 46 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I am so delighted to be here with you today. As ever, really, really exciting times here. We're starting to just put the finishing touches on our travel plans for November. Ivy and I are off to Mexico, and this is more than a holiday for us. This is an opportunity to dip our toes in the waters of a couple of things. So firstly, from my perspective, digital nomadery. Is it possible for me to take my business on the road? Is it possible for me to be location independent, as it is currently being called? So I will be taking my laptop and I will be staying on top of my correspondence and also staying in touch with my clients and with you guys. I'll be podcasting from there, I hope, if I can get a little bit of peace and quiet while we're out there. And it is within mind that in future we may do more traveling, maybe base ourselves in other countries. And this is really important for you, I think, because, you know, for me, work should and can have meaning. For too long, we've been rocking up to work thinking we have to work to earn money. It's a sacrifice. It's something you have to do. Work is quite hard. There are moments of brilliance where you love it, but there's also a lot of tough times around work. And I'm really of the belief that that doesn't have to be true. And even running my own business, there are days that are tough. There are days where I think this isn't quite right. And so what I want to do is I want to explore, how do you create work and a life that really, really fits who you are, is really authentic to you, allows you to really live with a true sense of purpose, maybe a sense of calling, maybe not anything as grand as that. But how do you construct a life where work is meaningful and important and does bring you a huge sense of joy? So I am exploring that in my own life, and doing a bit more travel over the next 12 months and hopefully beyond is my way of exploring that on your behalf. And the other reason that this is exciting for us is, from Ivy's perspective, this is our first experience of world schooling. So as you know, we are currently homeschooling. But there is a whole movement right now of people who are taking their businesses and their children on the road. And they are living in different countries, they're living in different ways, they are becoming part of the community that they work and live in, or maybe they are slow traveling around the world. But this is an opportunity for their children to grow and learn from the world itself. So while we love watching the documentaries about the rainforest, wouldn't it be even more amazing to be in the rainforest? While we love studying ancient civilizations, wouldn't it be amazing to go and visit the actual Mayan tombs and Mayan remains and see them with our own eyes and experience what it might have been like to live in ancient times? So this is what we're doing with our trip to Mexico. Of course, there will be plenty of eating out in nice restaurants and swimming in the swimming pool, but I think it's going to be more than that this time. And as I say, I will be podcasting from there. And if I haven't had a chance to reflect on what the experience has meant for us while I'm there, I will have a chance to experience to reflect on that when we get back, and I will share any insights with you that I think you might find interesting. However, today's podcast is an interview. It's an interview with a woman that I've known for quite a long time. Her name's Lisa Talbot. She is an award-winning personal stylist. She worked with me and helped me to completely revamp my wardrobe a few years ago, as we will discuss in this interview. But I wanted to have her on the show because last week I had mentioned about hair and clothes being one of the ways that you could express more who you are in the work environment, and that this can feel like a really massive risk because, you know, it's really visual. People can really see that you're doing it if you're doing it right. And I'm not quite the right person to share with you how you dough about that. So I wanted to get Lisa onto the show to give you a few tips and some advice and a couple of words of caution, actually, about how to go about changing up your style in the workplace as a way of expressing more of who you are, being more connected with your authentic self through what you wear. So without further ado, let me hand over to that interview now. So I'm so excited to welcome Lisa Talbot to the show. Hi, Lisa.
Hello, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm really good. Now, I've put some makeup, listeners can't see, but I've put some makeup on for you this morning. You know, I don't normally make such an effort this time. This is all for you.
And the lovely fur gilet that you're wearing that people can't see.
It's very furry. Yeah, I'm strokeable today. One of the reasons I'm having you on the show today is that I did a podcast very recently about how people can release more of the punk underneath their suit. And some of that being actually to question the suit itself. And then I thought, well, I'm not really credible in this area because, you know, fashion and clothes and all of that. I actually love clothes and I love a bit of shopping, but no one could call me a fashionista. So I thought, let's get someone on the show that actually knows about this and that really works with people like the people that are listening, who are working in business and who may feel quite limited in terms of how they can express themselves. And so here you are.
Here I am.
So why don't we start with you just explaining a bit about what you do and particularly how you work with corporate clients. Why are they coming to you? What do they need help with?
Okay, so a little bit about myself is I've been working as a personal stylist and as a personal shopper for about the past, gosh, it must be about 9 years now. So I've seen not only a lovely stream of clients, both obviously personally and also, you know, people who work on a day-to-day basis in corporate roles, and also, you know, people that work for themselves, have their own businesses, have a team of people as well. But so I've seen almost a change go from 9 years ago right through to now. So I've seen not only people evolve, but also businesses evolve as to how and where and the perception of what they want their employees to look like. But what really happens is over the past 9 years, I've seen people really want to make a change and not necessarily conform to exactly what a certain business thinks they should look like, if that makes sense. But what actually happens in doing that, we have seen a lot of businesses make that change from very, very formal dress, which is, you know, it used to be the ladies in the suits, whether it be a pencil skirt and a jacket or a shift dress and a jacket, and to gentlemen always in a suit, you know, shirt and tie and jacket and trousers that match, to much more of a casual approach into business. You know, this whole, as we say in inverted commas, the business casual. So business itself has evolved from, you know, when I started this 9 years ago, right through to now. And I think it's where we're in that kind of situation now where both women and gentlemen, and it doesn't matter what level you are within the organization, whether you're, you know, literally running the post for everybody or whether you're the CEO, there now has become this, oh my goodness, I don't actually know what to wear. I don't know whether to, you know, stay with the suits and because that's what I've always done. So actually what happens is as a business, people still feel that there is this expectation, I think, of exactly what they should wear, whether it be, you know, the suits or whether it should be more business casual. And this is where I've seen the evolve from 9 years ago. And I think this is probably where we're getting to with what you're talking about as well, is where people are saying, I don't know what to wear.
Yeah, I mean, it was certainly much easier when there was a strict dress code. And now, as you say, those rules have been diluted, but people are still kind of in a frame of mind that says probably a suit is best. And if I'm not sure, you know, so there's this
saying that people have, oh, dress for the job you want, not for the dress, not for the job you have. And what people tend to think of then is, well, I'm going to go smarter. I'm going to go more buttoned up. I'm going to wear actually more clothes rather than less, you know, and that kind of is still very prevalent, even though we're seeing, I mean, Casual Friday even is so old fashioned now. We're seeing organizations that are really loosening up on this dress code. It does create this question, well, what shall I wear to work?
Mm. And what you have is from a different business industry sector, there is definitely different dress codes throughout them. So if we take the banking industry, for instance, the banking industry is predominantly well known, whether it be male or female, for suits and far, far more formal dress. Then you dip down another level, and if you go to areas such as marketing, PR, media, it is far more relaxed and far more understood that you can go to work in jeans, different trousers, skirts, chinos for guys, or they might have a bit more of a polo shirt, that type of thing, because the environment that they work in is far more creative. So because the environment is far more creative, the expectation is that the employees are creative themselves. So therefore, you know, they're trying to attract that kind of person to work for them to obviously grow their businesses, etc. Media is very well known for being very, very relaxed, even to the point if you would go to a meeting for somebody in any of the media industries, you would absolutely could turn up in jeans or a denim shirt for a guy, or you could, you know, end up in a leather skirt for a girl, a lady, that type of thing. And then still when you drop down further, the whole techie companies, you tend to see, and I hope I'm not getting into trouble for this, but the techie areas, they're almost quite scruffy. You know, that they absolutely are. They're so technical in their ability, they're not creative. So I have been into some, you know, technical businesses where I have seen guys in cargo shorts and flip-flops, which, okay, they may be very, very technical at what they do, but do they give the right impression to a customer who is potentially looking to buy their services? And this is then when you start a whole new ball rolling of, you know, first impressions are huge in a business.
So I really get that. And I think we don't think enough about that. I think we think about it in quite a narrow way. So, well, because first impressions are so important, I need to wear the uniform. And actually, I wonder if, because first impressions are so important, you need to think quite carefully about, well, what is the first impression that you want to make? So, and this is where we might differ a little, because we've obviously talked about this before, and I think that we have slightly different views, but obviously you're the expert in this area. I'm really interested in what you think is right. From my perspective, I think that if you want to bring about change and you want to be quite disruptive and you want to get your organization to think very differently, get away from industrial age ways of thinking about the business to a much more modern age way of thinking about how we do our work and how the impact we have in the world, if that's your shtick, if that's your philosophy, then when you rock up in a suit and look exactly like everybody else, you're kind of diluting the message. You're saying, I am radical, but I still also want you to like me and want you to feel comfortable and to conform. So when you're thinking about that first impression, how conformist do you think you need to be?
So it is very well known that the first 7 seconds of anybody meeting you is when they will make an absolute opinion on you. And that opinion will be what car you drive, what house you might live in, are you married, have you got children, all that type of thing. So those first 7 seconds, whether somebody meets you in a coffee bar, or so, you know, you're going to a meeting, or you're a salesman who's looking to sell a service or a product, those first impressions are massively, massively important. Now, I'm not saying that within those first 7 seconds, you can't show your personality or what your experience is in your industry or your knowledge base or anything like that. But you have to still take into account what impression you are trying to make. So, for example, as a fashion stylist and as a fashion shopper, if I turned up to a client meeting or, you know, a customer consultation or something like that, and my hair was a mess and the clothes that I were wearing didn't depict maybe what was on trend this season or something like that, would that customer feel confident in my ability to do my job? And that's the question I'm asking, you know. Invariably, the answer will be no. And I did this I did a presentation, about a year ago, and I thought this is either going to work or it's either going to fall flat on its face. But I was doing a presentation to a group of people, and it was all about personal branding. And I turned up in a pair of jeans, a pair of boots, because I'm horsey. So I turned up in jeans, a pair of boots, a hooded sweatshirt, and a coat that was, you know, more like a bomber style coat, etc. And I sat down, and they obviously carried on with their meeting, and then they introduced me, and I stood up, and I watched people's faces when I said, "Good morning, I'm a personal stylist." And you watch people turn to their other colleagues as if to say, "Really?" You know. And then I went through the process of changing my clothing. So I took my jacket off, I swapped it for a blazer. I took my boots off, I swapped it for, I think it was a boot with a heel. And I completely changed what I wore to what I would wear if I went to meet a customer. Their perception then changed of me as to, oh, actually, no, I now will listen to her and I will now take her seriously because she looks now like she knows what she's talking about. And do you know what, Blair? It's a very fickle nation we live in. However, those first impressions are so, so important. But we absolutely can show who we are as a personality through our clothes. But we need to be, I think, conscious of what we're trying to achieve, A, in the business or in anything, really.
So I really like this because it is about deciding what impression you want to make and thinking about how you're going to do that. And I suspect that people do think about that at the moment, but they think about it in quite a narrow way, which is that, well, if I want to make a good impression, I need to wear the uniform. And actually, there might be more options available than just, you know, the suit and the shirt for men, or the kind of pantsuit or whatever it is for the women. So one of the things you helped me a few years ago, we went for a fantastic day shopping around the Oracle in Reading and bought some beautiful stuff, some of which I still have. And one of the things, the conversation we had right at the beginning was about my personality. And you had various different personality types that I might be. Could you share, because I remember the type you said that I was, which was quirky, which I really liked, obviously. Can you share what some of these personality types might be? Because, you know, there's so many options now about what you could wear. If you're able to narrow it down to a bit of a type, that could really help.
No, absolutely. And I think what happens with regards to style personalities are, no matter what we do, we need to feel comfortable in our own skin. Absolutely. So if you're wearing a certain set of clothing to go to do a certain role or activity, if you don't feel like you, you will not feel confident in what you're about to do. So, you know, very much like if you're, say you are going to a meeting, say you're a CEO and you're going to present, you know, to, 4,000 people on the stage, you are the expert in that field. You're the subject matter expert, great. But if you don't feel comfortable in what you're wearing, your presentation will not deliver as to what you want it to. So if you can understand your style personality, not only are you the subject matter expert, but you will feel good in what you're wearing. So therefore, you will feel good in how you present. So, and these personalities don't really change between gentlemen and women. So they're quite easy to move across the genders. There is what we call a natural personality. So naturals tend to play an awful lot more with fabric and the look more than they do anything else. So a natural has a slightly more casual, informal look. However, they hate looking unkempt. So you will find a natural personality will still look very well put together. However, they won't look rigid. So they will play with fabrics such as, you know, the cottons, the denims, the linens. This season they'll have velvet, they'll have leather, they'll have, you know, a lovely elastane in their fabrics that allows them to move and flex. So if you're looking at, for example, a blazer, a natural will wear more of a jersey style blazer than they will wear a formal cotton blazer. So naturals just play a lot more with fabric, so they're a little bit more casual and informal. You've then got the dramatics, which is what you were. So dramatics are just quirky. So all they don't want to do is look like everybody else. So if you take take a dramatic gentleman, they might have a herringbone suit, you know, with a purple shirt, instead of a very just block coloured grey suit with a blue shirt. And then a lady from a quirky perspective may just have a really nice dress that's got a very strong print on it. Or they may have black trousers, for example, with a nice glitter knit on the top half, but they might have leopard print shoes. So there's just something about them that allows their personality to be on show, but it doesn't make them stick out like a sore thumb. But what would happen is if they walked into a room for whatever they're doing, you know, even if they're just coming into the office, people will say, "Ah, I like what they're wearing," or they won't like what they're wearing, depending on that person's personality. So dramatics are just a little bit different. We have the feminines. Now, feminine for both ladies and gentlemen just potentially means a little bit more softness to the look as well. So for ladies, it will be they may incorporate some frills or some ruffles. So it could be like a vertical ruffle on a shirt for them under, you know, over maybe a pencil skirt. And a gentleman may even go for a formal cotton shirt, for example, but on the inside of the lapel there may be a floral print. Or they may tend to go more from a soft tone point of view. So they might go for your pastel pink shirts or your powder blue or, you know, something like that. They'll make it softer in their look. And then we have the classics. So your classics are your formal, fitted, structured look. They can still create a huge amount of interest in their outfit, but they will use the structure of the garments to create the body shape. So if you take somebody such as Audrey Hepburn from a lady's point of view, she was very elegant, but you didn't see many print, you know, it was much more block colored. If she wore anything, you know, it was a polka dot. It was much more rigid in its look, but it worked with the body shape. And gentlemen, you will tend to find, will stick to the very traditional, conservative look far more. And the last one is artistic. Now, artistic personalities are probably about 5% of our population. They are incredibly, incredibly creative. They look amazing. Everybody will turn an eye. But from a perspective, a lot of people will say, "Wow, that person looks fantastic," but I would never wear that. And it's very much, you know, that whole Alexander McQueen as a designer, very flamboyant, you know, Vivienne Westwood with her whole tartan ensemble, you know, that type of look. You tend to find you know, you'll find some of those people in the PR, the marketing, the media side, because that's who they are. But they are quite a small minority. But what the whole style personality does, it helps people understand and almost challenge those boundaries of, this is who I am. How can I now reflect in my clothing who I am as well? Because then you get that wonderful mix of somebody dressing according to their personality. You know, we dress them then according to their lifestyle, so what they're doing, who they're working for, etc. Then we incorporate the body shape piece, and suddenly, no matter what somebody's wearing, whatever they do in life, their confidence is strong, their shoulders are back, and therefore then they are empowered, like you said earlier on, to go into that workplace and say, do you know what? I think this could be better than this, or have you thought about doing this? Because it's an clothes have an amazing way of making you feel either incredibly good or incredibly bad. And from my perspective, it's all about making people feel great, whether they are wearing a pair of jeans and a t-shirt from Primark or whether they're wearing a pair of jeans and a t-shirt from Prada. It doesn't matter. As long as that person feels incredibly confident in their own skin and with what they're wearing, I guarantee they will achieve far more.
I really love this because, as we were saying before, I think people feel that, well, if they're not going to wear a suit because we don't live in those days anymore, or because they're being encouraged to express themselves more, that they have to be messy, they have to be scruffy, or they have to be somehow artistic in the way that they dress and really creative when they've got no clue and actually aren't terribly interested in clothes. So, you know, the people trying to go from one extreme to the other. And what I like about this is that, you know, within the, say, the natural or the dramatic or the classic or the feminine, there are, or the artistic, there are ways to dress that still feel like you're professional, still feel that you're clean, that you're put together, that you can be taken seriously, that you've got credibility, and yet you're not just a drone who thinks, you know, who thinks and operates in this very narrow way.
Yeah, you are an individual. You know, there were, I think there was something on the TV the other day, they were talking about DNA, excuse me. And they said, as a DNA, we are all different. And absolutely, we are all different. We all have strengths. We all have areas for development in the workplace, everything like that. But if you dress according to who you are far more likely to grow as a person, no matter what you're doing. So using, I think, those style personalities just sometimes help people understand why potentially they like certain things. And obviously somebody like myself, even like when we shopped, I'm that, excuse me, I'm the person who just pushes those boundaries a little bit. You know, you don't have to push them too so far over that the person says, oh really, you know, Lisa, that's just not me. But if you give them even a different color or a different print or something like that, they will feel incredibly good. So I have a gentleman client who has his own business, and he had a big award dinner to go to. Now, he is definitely dramatic, definitely. So I knew that when we were picking out the dinner suit, it could not be normal. It couldn't just be a black suit. So in the end, this gentleman, because he had to do a presentation, and in the end, he had a velvet jacket with silk lapels, but in the velvet jacket was a print that you could only see at certain in certain lights. And he sent me a picture and he said, I have never felt so good standing up to present. And that's exactly what you want, because he said, oh, I felt like me. Whereas if I'd given him that formal black dinner suit, he'd have thought, well, you know, it looks okay. But actually, I don't feel special. And a lot of it about clothing is about feeling special. And again, it has no relevance as to the amount of money you spend on any one garment. Because as long as it makes you feel good, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I think people worry about. You know, some people fall into the trap of thinking, well, if it's expensive, it's going to look good. And if it's not expensive, it's going to look bad. Other people fall into the trap of thinking, you know, because I haven't got that much money to spend on clothes, I can't look great. And actually, when we went shopping together, we did a whole range of things, but we ended up in some, like you said, Primark, and got some really beautiful pieces. But what was cool about you is you knew where to get. So which is the right shop to go to for knits, and which is the right shop to go to for a suit to make sure she, so you said something like, there was a particular shop, I don't remember what it was, but I'm sure you do, where you said, I would buy knits in here, but I wouldn't buy a skirt in here.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. But then you see, I have the luxury of time. So whether you're a gentleman or whether you're a lady, I fully understand that ladies and gentlemen that work full time only have a weekend potentially to go shopping. And for a lot of people, that's the least thing on their mind. Whereas, you know, somebody like me, I spend my life in the shops because that's my job, to find out who's doing what, who does the best thing, blah, 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 blah. And that's why a lot of clients will say, you know, working with you saves me actual time and money because I only buy what I need. You push me that little bit to try something different. And there are some amazing pieces out there, you know, in our high street. They're definitely trying to work with all different types of personality and gender and everything like that to ensure that, you know, our economy grows and things like that. And it's absolutely, you know, it's so proven now that if you feel good in what you wear, you will absolutely achieve. And I think from a woman's perspective, they have more flexibility because obviously as women, we can do different things with our hair. You potentially could wear a different lipstick to add something different to an outfit. You might be able to wear jewelry, all that type of thing, you know, different shoes kind of things. So we have, I think, definitely more flexibility and more range that we can really allow our personalities to come out. I think gentlemen have, they're a little bit more restricted, but they can still do some amazing things. So they could have, you know, wonderful socks. You know, look at Peter Jones. He's well known for his socks. You know, guys can add in a different colour tie. They might have a different suit style that might be herringbone, or it might have a check running through it in a different colour, or they might have gorgeous lining of their jacket, maybe in a print. But their shoes could be a different fabric, for example. They could be suede. They could be leather. You know, so there is a massive endless list for the gentleman as well. But what happens is in some cases, both for ladies and gentlemen, you touched on it earlier on, they have a uniform, and a uniform for work because it's the safe option. You know, I can just get up and go to work. I can put this on, I'm done. But actually now people want to start being a bit more creative in their look. And it does absolutely allow them to be a bit more confident and creative in their work, which is where you're coming from, where you're saying, you know, we want to push those boundaries a little bit. And, you know, loads of people have great ideas, don't they, in the workplace, but they're not necessarily confident to say them. But actually, if you feel confident in what you're wearing, the confidence allows you to go, oh, do you know what? Have you tried this? And I think, from a workplace point of view, employees are really welcome. They're welcoming now to listen to those ideas, but they don't know what those ideas are unless someone is confident enough to tell them.
Yeah, and I wonder if getting the clothes right and feeling more confident in yourself actually gives you more credibility to then say that idea. So if, I mean, you were talking about the techies, and I feel bad for them because, you know, there are some techies that have really look amazing and all of that. But equally, I think we all know the cliche, and you get people in every organization who just really making up their own rules about what they can wear. And it's more the stuff that you would expect to see down at the beach. But anyway, that aside, you know, if you're not taken seriously in your organisation because you seem not to care because of the clothes that you wear, it's very difficult for you to get heard, even if your idea is brilliant. But if it looks like you care because you've made this effort, and it's a conscious effort to express who you are through your clothes, then when you speak, if your idea is good, I think people can hear you a bit more clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, it goes back to that first impression. Because, you know, unless you always have it, don't you, in a meeting or in a workplace or even standing by the coffee machine, not everybody is confident to chat or talk to people or whatever. But if they're confident in what they're wearing, it's really interesting. It's a bit like having an armor around them. They think, oh, do you know what? Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the power of clothing that people tend to miss a little bit, you know. And a lot of, I see a massive range of clients from all ages, whether they be, you know, literally from 14 years old right up to 80. And I think if you look at the whole, all of their scenarios, a lot of it is, I've lost my way a little bit, you know, I need to understand how to dress my shape, all that type of thing. So actually, if you dig really deep, it becomes all about the whole confidence situation. And I think you get so much more from people once they feel good about themselves, because that's it, isn't it? They all smile. And, you know, I always say to people, I know when someone has found the right item, when they push back the curtains, you know, of the change room, because they smile. And you go, that's it. Because I guarantee you, when you're wearing that item, that's exactly what you'll be doing all day. So, you know, you then bring people on your journey with you. You know, so if you're sat at work and, you know, someone might say something, you can kind of say, well, yeah, you know, but I have thought about this, or we've always done it this way, but why wouldn't we do it this way? And suddenly, you know, the infectious enthusiasm, again, draws people along that journey.
So you've spent a lot of time with people, you know, obviously helping them try on clothes and going shopping, but I'm sure that conversations can get quite personal, and that this is an opportunity for people to talk about what's going on for them. What are some of the mindset restrictions that people have? What's some of the stuff that's going on for people that does mean that they don't feel confident to wear certain things, or that they have lost their way?
I think life throws curveballs at us, doesn't it? It throws curveballs at us. Life changes. So, you know, I have like what we were saying earlier on, there's a range of clients. So there could be clients that have gone through separation, divorce, bereavement, illness. They could be clients that have come out of university. They're now heading to the workplace for the very first time. It's very, you know, it's a very scary place for someone who's come out of uni. They may have the qualifications of what they've got. However, they're about to enter in that big bad world, you know, now where you get paid for doing something. So they want to make, again, see, they want to make that first impression. I see clients as well that have, maybe especially ladies, they've taken maternity leave because they've had children. They've then maybe taken a year off. And those are the clients that come back and say, do you know what, Lita, I've been out of this for a whole year. My business has changed slightly. You know, when I left, everyone was wearing this. But now, because I've popped in again recently to, you know, catch up with colleagues, they all look a bit different now. So now I've got to up my game, because I've got to kind of not conform to what they're all wearing, but I want to feel like I fit in. So, you know, they don't want to feel like the outsider. You could have people that are going through retirement. You know, everybody's life suddenly might change. And that's when they think, oh, okay, well, hold on. I haven't bought any clothes for a while, or I don't know what to wear, or I don't know how to wear it. But I want to look modern. So there's a very fine line for looking trendy and modern, because, you know, trendy is very much, you know, what's on trend, and we all want to look modern. Because I have a massive statement that I always say, style has no age limit. You know, not just because you're 20 are you perceived to look a certain way, and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and whatever. Style has no age limit, but it can look age appropriate. So we can look age appropriate while still showing our personality and still creating that modern look, so that people go, oh, do you know what? She looks nice, or he looks nice. Or do you know what? That guy there's got those socks on that have got this season's colour in. Or do you know that type of thing? So I have a massive range, but I think a lot of it is definitely round to life. Life just changes, doesn't it? And we move with it.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, that's one of the reasons that I came to you, is that my daughter was maybe 4, something like that, 3 or 4. And just that massive change of lifestyle and being a mum just did, I'd sort of lost my way a bit. And yeah, just didn't quite know what to wear anymore, and had sort of forgotten. When you've spent 9 months in maternity clothes, you come out the other side going, I don't really know what to wear now. I'm glad to have a waistline again. You know, that was about it. So it was really, I think that's right. I think, you know, new job or new company or change in life circumstances, or just feeling like you want to shape something up a bit, all of those are moments where it might be worth looking at, am I in alignment with the way that I dress? Does this still feel like me?
Yeah, and you know, one of the other things is interviews. So people who are, you know, into the whole interview process is different from one business to another business. And obviously, see that first impression. It always keeps coming back to that whole first impression. But people want to make that first impression. So like you said earlier, it's better to look slightly smarter than looking a little bit more casual. However, you still have to think about the business that you're potentially going into to make sure that you still would not stick out like a sore thumb. Because obviously, from a business point of view, those interviewers, whether they're the business leaders or the HR executives, you know, they'll be looking at, has this person got the skill set? But also, will this person fit in with our business? Will it fit in with the other employees? Does it fit the business ethos? Everything like that. So interview is another big one, you know, that people come and say, what can I wear? And again, it still goes back to, well, we need to show them who you are as a person, but we just need to also make sure that you follow the business ethos. So if you think about someone like Innocence as a brand, far more relaxed, you know, they have a putting green in their offices, that type of thing. If you had someone going for a role within there, their dress code would look very different at an interview than someone who was going to work as a financial advisor in the business, in the banking industry. But we can still show their personalities on both points and still make them look professional and exude that they have the ability to work within that organization.
Yeah. And I wonder if it works the other way too, which is that if you know that in order to get a job in this place and to not stick out, you'd have to wear clothes that really feel wrong to you, then I wonder if that's also an indication that this probably isn't the right company for you. You know, if it's so out of sync and you would really not, yeah, you just wouldn't be comfortable. You're an artistic person and you express yourself in quite dramatic ways, but you'd have to really, really tone that down to get a job in this place, maybe it's not the right place.
Yeah, but we've all seen it, haven't we? You know, and potentially, if I go back years and years and years, I worked for a big corporate, you know, within there, and I worked my way through the business. But there were certain roles that I did that absolutely were not me. You know, they weren't me. I think I worked in finance and, oh my God, my figures are horrendous, you know, and I worked in it. The people were lovely, but was it really me? No, you know, so I gradually worked my way around until I worked within recruitment for the business and I worked within HR. Oh, absolutely my bag, because I love people. And so from my perspective, you're absolutely right. We've all still done maybe jobs that we've done because we've done them, but did we love them enough to conform to what potentially that is how we choose clothes. You know, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because what's that saying? We live to work. Is it the other way around? We live to work or work to live?
Work to live, yeah.
We work to live. We don't live to work. So, you know, it's really, really intriguing, I think.
So we're kind of coming to the end, but there's something I want to talk to you about, which is something I probably never would have had to talk about 15, 20 years ago, tattoos and piercings. So particularly the tattoos, I have a tattoo actually, but it's very, very well hidden.
If it's on your bottom, I don't need to see it.
I will not say. There are people listening to this that don't need to know that information. But the point is, it's not particularly on show. But there are lots of tattoos now that you see that are very much on show. You wouldn't be able to hide them, and people have no desire to hide them. This is a way that they're expressing who they are. Our attitudes to tattoos, to piercings, even to the more radical hairstyles, are they changing? Is it becoming more acceptable in particular industries, say?
I think it's becoming more acceptable. However, I still think in certain business sectors, it is still not deemed as appropriate to be on show. Rightly or wrongly, I think you have to take from that perspective, the business lead from it. And it even goes down to, you know, some businesses still won't, you know, that whole saying dress down Friday, they still don't allow that whole relaxed more look on a Friday, because in a survey that was done about 2 years ago, it was deemed that employees are less productive when they do not wear formal dress code is wrong, but they wear what the business seems as appropriate. I think it absolutely depends on the business. So again, if you were, and you sit an awful lot, you see somebody working in, you know, a barista, or they've got their t-shirts on with their tattoos and then, you know, piercings, it kind of doesn't look out of place, because they're working in an industry that is far more available to the public. You know, so people just, we all take it, don't we? Because that's life, because this is what life is all about. Everybody's different. They can express themselves, etc. Would that be deemed appropriate in the banking industry? Absolutely not. You know, they would prefer, if they definitely wouldn't discriminate and not employ somebody with a tattoo or a piercing, but they might say to them, we would prefer you to wear a long sleeve shirt during business hours, and maybe not have your piercing in. But maybe you then flip it to somewhere like the media, it's okay. So again, I think you can allow, people will, and businesses allow people to, you know, exude their personality, but it will absolutely be business related.
Fantastic. And do you think that that is changing? I mean, we've already talked about the changes you've experienced over the decade that you've been doing this work. Do you think in another 10 years it's possible that we'll be saying, actually, you can have tattoos now on show in the banking industry?
I don't know. Because if you look at the banking industry, for example, hasn't changed much. So go back 9 years, their dress code was still the same. Because they are fine. It's really interesting because they're deemed as financial experts. So would we take notice of somebody who was trying to deliver stock market information, you know, in a polo shirt and a tattoo? I don't know if that will change that much, because it hasn't really changed in 9 years. Whereas definitely, I think for an office role, You know, you work for a big, I don't know, telecoms company or a big tech company. I think you'll definitely see that come in more and more, because, you know, even go back 5 years, you know, if someone rocked up with a tattoo, people were more shocked. They were a bit like, oh, you know, that's a tattoo. Whereas, you know, people like David Beckham, and they've made it far more available, and it's become actually very much of a fashion accessory. So, you know, if you think about a sleeve as a tattoo, it really isn't much different to a printed shirt sleeve, is it really? So in certain industries, I think it will relax. In others, I think they'll stay very, very how they were.
Yeah. So where should people start? I mean, if this conversation has inspired them to say, you know what, I don't think about this, I don't think about the impression, I don't feel comfortable in my clothes and I'd like to express myself a bit more. Where would you suggest people start with experimenting? Is it the hair? Is it the jacket? What's the first step?
I would say initially it's about looking at the style personality element, because if they suddenly take great, you know, reference from what we've discussed today, which I really hope people do, to suddenly rush out to the shops and think, God, I'm going to do something different, they're still going to hit that high street because it is quite a daunting place and think, oh God, where do I start? Whereas actually, if you kind of take a few steps back, I always say to clients, you know, your wardrobe is a four-pronged approach. You've got to understand who you are as a person, so your star personality. You then have to take into account your lifestyle. So what do you do? You know, do you work? Have you got children? What do you do in your casual time? Everything like that. You know, do you go out with friends? Do you go out, or do you just go out? You know, so if you can understand your lifestyle, you can therefore make sure that that wardrobe that you have contains elements in it that work for your lifestyle. You then take into account your body shape, because if you don't take into account the shape of your body and what styles and shapes and things will suit it, it then still becomes a little bit difficult. And the fourth prong is your wardrobe. So if you take into account those other three elements, the wardrobe will be the most exciting place for you and very easy, because people are so time poor. You know, I want people to be able to open up that wardrobe in the morning and think, do you know what? I'm playing golf today. I can do that. I've got a meeting in central London today. I need to wear this. Or actually, I'm working from home today, so I can wear this, not just my pajamas. Do you know what I mean? And it's really interesting to just start at the beginning, you know, understand who you are as a person through your style personality, because then you start to think, ah, that's why I'm drawn to, for example, TM Lewin shirts, or that's why I prefer Urban Outfitters, because they're slightly more informal. So people can start to then think, okay, this is who I am as a person. So now how can I start to reflect that in the clothes that I buy online, or you go to the store or whatever? So therefore, once you understand who you are, you can understand where you might need to take it from a clothing point of view. So then when you go to the stores or you work with somebody like myself, you've then got that ability to think, ah, that works, that works. That's a little bit different. Not tried it on before, but I'll take it in and I'll try it on, or I'll order it online or whatever. So that's what I would recommend.
That's fantastic. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. I hope
you're welcome.
Has inspired people to just try something a little bit different and get out of the uniform.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Wasn't that great? I really loved talking to Lisa, and I loved the idea that your clothes become an expression of who you are, and that there are things you can do even at work to express who you are. A little bit of punk in your suit as well as under your suit, maybe. I'm back next week, of course. It's another interview show, sticking actually sort of with the subject of fashion, but we're talking bigger picture with Ryan Palmer, who is one of the co-founders of the London Sock Company. And he's going to be sharing about his amazing business, the business model, and really helping us to get inside the mindset of this new generation of young entrepreneurs who are really changing their industry by thinking differently about how they serve their customers. So that is next week.
And in the meantime, you can, of course, stay in touch with me and the team here at That People Thing. You can email me, blair@thatpeoplething.com. You can email me about anything. If you want to be on the show and think you would be an amazing guest, if there's a topic that you'd like me to talk about that maybe I've touched on and you'd like me to go into in more detail, if you want to talk about working with me or bringing me in to speak at your organization, just drop me a line. You can even call me. The phone number is on the website. I love it when people just have the guts to just pick up the phone and call directly. You can also stay in touch with our antics as a family on Instagram. That's @abrilliantgamble. And you can join the Facebook group, Punks in Suits, or follow me @BlairPalmer on Twitter. But with a reminder of all of that and information about our newsletter, here is the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you. You can stay in touch with us on Twitter @BlairPalmer, on our Punks and Suits Facebook page by email, blair@thatpeoplething.com, and our newly renamed Instagram account, which is now called A Brilliant Gamble. And if you go to the website www.thatpeoplething.com, you can sign up for our newsletter. You'll get articles, tips and provocative questions straight to your inbox. And a free exclusive 5-part series written by Mummy covering the main themes of Punks and Suits concept and revealing her dirty little secret. Ooh.